Welcome to the Guardians of Grace podcast. Relax. You have found the right place. We're here to serve. Join us, holding to pure grace. Again, relax. Join in with us. Listen on. Be blessed.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Guardians of Grace podcast. My name's Bill, and I'm sitting here hanging out, having fellowship with my good buddy, Grace Guard Dog Steve. 3 hours. We were supposed to do a podcast 3 hours ago.
The cares of the world, cares of the world. Hello, everybody. I'm glad you've tuned in to listen to the podcast, and we want nothing but blessings for you. Blessings on top of blessings. We hope that your day is blessed. We hope that listening to the podcast blesses you and blesses the rest of your day as well.
And maybe you could give us a short review on the podcast. My apologies to Zacchaeus, but a review last week's podcast.
Last week, it seemed to me like we were using Zacchaeus as an example of repentance in its various forms, and we were looking into the idea of the repentance is not so much from your bad behavior. Your repentance is from your behavior. You're repenting from your behavior and giving the behavior to Jesus and let it be his behavior. And Zacchaeus being controlled by Jesus' behavior caused him to say, I'll give back to everybody and I'll give back. And that's what the Spirit does to each one of us. The Spirit in us causes us to do what sometimes we can't do for ourselves, or sometimes we sat there and say, no, I can't give an offering. Or like Bill had testimony of last week, I was supposed to support that lady who was on a mission trip. I was supposed to support her, and my finances went haywire on me, and my human nature just couldn't give her the money because the mathematics weren't adding up. So my human nature quit giving her the monthly support. Well, the Spirit can give her the monthly support in front of anything that your eyes see. Whatever circumstance you're in, the Spirit can cause you to do what you can't do for yourself. And that show all the kindness and the love and the joy and the peace and be faithful to people. All those things that you like about yourself is actually the deeds that the Spirit is doing through you, because your human nature produces all the strife and all the envy and the carousing and all the things that you don't like about yourself. Even on your best day, that's what your flesh, or the idea of your human capabilities to live the Christian life, that's what they produce. You don't produce that love and joy and peace and that extra unbelievable quality that Jesus has through your human strength. It's got to be done by the Spirit. And that's what we were talking about last week during the podcast. And we were going on with it, and we said we would continue that idea.
I think we left off where Zacchaeus, a notorious tax collector, was salvation came to his house today. That's Jesus' words. And remember, it had a double meaning because Jesus' name is Yeshua, which is salvation, meaning delivered. So salvation came to Zacchaeus' house, deliverance from
himself.
Who will deliver me from this body of death.
Romans 7.
Romans 8:1 says, or the end of Romans 7 says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Big sentence right there.
It is.
Thanks be to God through my commitment.
Wrong. Through Jesus Christ. That is speaking the truth that they were saying, that those who spoke, practiced the truth in John chapter 3 came to the light so it might be clearly seen that what was done through God's power.
Not through my commitment.
Yes.
And just to review the embarrassing story that I shared last week, there was a very just godly 20-some-year-old then, back then, this was, goes back to 89 or 90, who was doing missionary work, and she needed financial support because she couldn't earn money there. And they announced it at Sunday school, and my hand shot up in the air and said, count on me. And everyone saw it, and I said, I'll do it. I'll support you. You can count on me. I'll put the money forth. I'll sacrifice. And I had my moment of glory. It was that 10 seconds of all eyes on Bill coming through with the monthly support. It was good to support her.
Probably felt great inside. It made you feel good, didn't it?
There was, I know part of it was God, but a large part of it, no, I'll just say a lot of it was God, because we're really not supposed to, like Paul said.
Would it be fair to say the part God was doing it, but to a large part you were taking credit for it?
That's a good way to put it. What I did, the activity of sponsoring someone on a missionary, as a missionary, is good.
And God prompted.
My motives, Paul said, I don't even judge my motives. I'll wait till the day of Christ. So I know my motives. They are both. I wanted to do a good thing, and I also wanted credit for doing a good thing. That gets me to Romans 8. So we remember Romans 7 ended by, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. We'll get back to that, what that means. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Because Paul needed rescuing from something, and I needed rescuing from something. They both happened to be financial things. Paul could not stop hoarding his money, and I had a similar situation. I just couldn't come up with the money to support her, this missionary. But Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation. First he says at the end of Romans 7, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, for the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. So many things to cover today, but maybe we can focus on that one. The law, the principle of the Spirit of the life in Christ has set me free, unimprisoned, rescued me from the law of the sin and the death.
Mm-hmm. The law of dynamics of the living by the life of Christ in you sets you free from the law of dynamics of living in your own human strength and failing. That's what sets you free from your failures. The law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus producing good fruit through you.
And remember, we're not talking about Yahoo living or going to the bars or what we always think of living in the flesh was. Paul was living in the flesh in Romans 7 when he said, the thing I want to do, I don't do. He said, I would not have known what sin was. And remember, sin is not really
being drunk all day.
No.
Sin can be trying your best on your best behavior. You can still be sinning.
Because sin simply means to miss the mark. You set a mark. Paul set his mark to not covet.
Yeah.
I set my mark. My goal was to support this nice young lady on the missionary field. I sinned. I missed the mark. What I wanted to do was the same thing Paul did. I wanted to send her my check every month. The thing I wanted to do, send her the check every month, I wasn't able to do. The thing I wanted to avoid, not sending a check, is what I ended up doing.
Romans 7, I do what I don't want to do, and
I
don't
did
do what
I didn't want to do, yeah. And I didn't do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I cried out, wretched man that I am. I don't use that word wretched, but what a dirty dog. What a disappointment. What a loser I am. I couldn't even do this. My commitment level was there. I knew it was the right thing to do. I couldn't do it. That is a valuable experience that every Christian should go through. Because if you don't go through that experience of not understanding what you're doing, the good you want to do, you just don't seem to be able to do it on a consistent basis. And the thing you fear, the thing you dread doing, the thing you don't want to do the most, you end up doing that thing the most. That sounds like you don't care, but it's not. It's ignorance of a law of dynamic called the law of sin and death. Until you're enlightened on what the law of the sin and death, and remember, it's not a moral law, is it? It's a, what do they call that? You say it all the time. A law of dynamics.
Yes.
Meaning it's going to happen every time. Every time you try to live the Christian life without Christ, meaning, who would do that? You do it all the time. You just don't know it.
It's like when you drop that brick on my toe over and over again to prove that it never...
The law of gravity.
Works. The law of gravity. Yeah, I remember I learned that day.
I remember sitting next to you in the emergency room. I think I got it. Okay. Well, yeah, it is. It's the same thing. It's a law. It's the law of the sin and the death. And it was the reason for Mount Sinai and giving the law to Israel to keep. And all through the Old Testament, they didn't know they were going to fail. They didn't know that it was given to them to fail. It was given to them to cry out, wretched human being that I am, I need help. Even though we didn't have the law, we got a lot of stuff in just in Christianity to deal with. But until you get to wretched man that I am, who will rescue me, you'll keep trying it, won't you?
I always did until I got to that point where I just said it's useless, it's futile. I can't do it. I'm frustrated beyond belief. I just can't stand how frustrated I am. And I cried out, hey, that's my testimony. I cried out, oh, wretched man that I am. Please, Lord, please save me from myself, because myself just puts a shoe in my mouth all day long.
The first thing Paul tells you in Romans 8, in the Romans 7 and Romans 8, is there's no condemnation. If you have a King James, It says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. That's a true statement.
Yeah, but it's not in the old man. Who do not walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit, is actually not in the manuscript, the old manuscripts. King James put it in there, but it is a very true statement.
There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, human effort,
yeah,
but after the Spirit.
Yes.
True statement.
True statement.
And he makes that statement again in 4, where actually it does fit.
It does. It is in the manuscripts.
But what's important to know, and a legalist will fight you with this all the time, there is no condemnation, period. Jesus died on the cross. All your sins that you would ever commit for your whole life, he died to forgive you for your whole life and not to condemn you. He actually decided he wasn't going to condemn you before the foundation of the world.
That was his plan, that you not be condemned before the foundation of the world. He had that in his plan, and he died once for all, never needing to die again. And he sat down at the right hand of God, and that was for everybody. It was complete. Everybody from the first breath of Adam to the last breath of Adam, or the last breath of the last man standing.
So before we get to there is now no condemnation and the King James controversy of Romans 8:1, let me read you this verse in Ephesians 1. It says that he chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless before the foundation of the world.
Holy and blameless in his sight before the foundation of the world.
And the word for foundation of the world is not tithame, it's katabala. Katabala means, kata is down, bala is throw. It's literally, he chose us in him before the thrown down cosmos. You could say before Adam and Eve's fall, he chose us to be holy and blameless. Now let's look at Romans 8:1 in light of that.
Okay.
Or you could say before he created the world. That works too.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to fight a battle over that.
No.
But Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You don't have to add a qualifier. There's no condemnation because he chose us in him to be holy and blameless. His choice to view you as blameless before any of this even happened. So why mess things up with the law, right? Well, there's a reason.
Believe it or not, it was for our benefit.
I would never trust in the Spirit to do for me, as you famously say, what I can't do for myself, if I thought I could do it for myself, would I?
No.
And neither would anyone else. Failure is needed to trust in a new law, like law of dynamic, a new principle. So Romans 8 is introducing a new principle. But before he introduces the principle that we've been harping on all the time, do it by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, trust in the Spirit, lean on the Spirit, depend on the Spirit. How many times do we say it? Every podcast?
And it needs to be said every podcast.
We're pretty convinced.
Yeah.
That you need the Spirit.
Because there are plenty of human-driven sermons out there. The Christian world is just replete with human-driven services.
Even if we hear a sermon that the Spirit does it for you, what you can't do for yourself, or a classic Guardians of Grace podcast, there's still something in you that wants to revert
like a dog
back.
A dog goes back to his vomit?
Yeah, like
being stuck on stupid. You want to go back to being stuck on stupid again?
Galatians 3.
Yeah,
are you so stupid?
Galatians.
Yeah. Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. That's what he told the Galatians. Are you so foolish? Why are you trying to live up to the law? Why are you trying to make human effort on par with righteousness? Why are you doing that? Are you so stupid?
Yeah,
well, that's the reason for the law. The reason for the law was not for you to keep it. The reason for the law was to make you so dependent on the Spirit that you would be the
acceptable.
Law. Go ahead.
You would have an acceptable spirit. You'd be teachable.
Yeah. Yes. You have to know what doesn't work before you can be fully convinced that I have everything I need to work.
That you can appreciate what does work.
So let's go back to the King James rendering of Romans 8:1.
Okay.
King James says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And it's not necessary in verse 1 to say, in other words, in verse 1, is Paul saying that there's no condemnation if you do this qualifier, not walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit only? No, he's not. He's saying there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because your sin debt was already paid. You can't be condemned a second time for what Jesus was already condemned for once and paid in full. So it's enough to say there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Period. Then in verse 4 it says, well, there's a qualifier in verse 4, and it's the qualifier that the King James uses in verse 1. Can you read verse 4 and then compare it to verse 1, how it should read?
Yep, it says, all the requirements of the law will be fully met by us who do not walk according to human power, but walk according to the Spirit's power.
So there the qualifier fits. Why does it fit, Steve?
Because it's a temporal statement. It's talking about in time, about your in time experience. You will fulfill all the requirements of the law. You'll walk righteously. You'll please your mother and your brothers and your sisters and your wife. You'll be a pleasure to be around. If you do not walk according to human performance, but walk according to the Spirit's power, you can make the A for the day by using the Spirit's power. It's a temporal doctrine. That is a doctrine that you know and live by.
Were you able to embrace the doctrine of walking by all the righteous requirements of the law will be fully met in those who walk after this Spirit and not after the flesh?
Yes.
Before you experience the futility of Romans 7?
No. I went through years of futility. And matter of fact, I had memorized Romans 6, 7, and 8 and never knew what it meant. Never knew what it was telling me. It could have been another language that I memorized. But eventually, I learned what it was saying. And in Romans 8, 4, it is telling us you can live a righteous life if you do not walk according to your human performance, but walk according to the performance that the Spirit does through you. It finally became clear what that verse was saying.
And it's equally 100% true that you can never walk a victorious life by keeping the law and trying hard.
But
in your own human effort.
No one will be justified by works of the law in the flesh, Galatians.
And no one will be declared righteous.
You'll never do it.
So the law does have a purpose.
Yes.
And it wasn't for behavior modification as much as it is for thinking, changing your thinking.
For teaching.
Which gets us back to the word repent. Change your mind. Stop thinking that if you try harder, you commit more, you get an accountability partner.
In other words, stop thinking that if you go and feel sorry for what you just did and try a little harder, that type of repentance, this the second time you'll make it. You'll repent and repent and repent and repent over and over and over again, because that second time you start trying in your own human ability to perform the Christian life, you will fail hard again. And that's why it says pride comes before the fall, because the pride is when you humanly try and do it, when you think you can, when you've got that much pride in yourself, it's coming before a fall.
Every time you can count on it.
That's why it says later on in Romans, to him who will make you stand.
He closes out the book of Romans on that. Now to him who's able to establish you, which is make you stand.
Yes.
Solidify you.
Yes.
Now to him who's able to establish you by my gospel.
My gospel, I will do it for you. Euangelion, the good news that Jesus came to earth to give to us. I will do it for you. I will do it through you.
By my gospel. Gospel is good news. It's a message. Try harder is not a message. It's not the gospel.
It doesn't have life.
It has zero life. When you tell someone to stop doing that, you're just giving them something to do, which most likely they'll fail. Sooner or later, they'll fail. First, they'll deceive themselves and think they are doing it. That's why the Sermon on the Mount was so important. This was Jesus' goal. He knew the law was coming to an end. So he said, he tightened up the law a little bit, didn't he? You say, what is it?
Don't commit adultery, but if you do it in your heart, you've already done it. He said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Because, that's how he ended it. Yeah.
That's the only righteousness that will make the grade is perfection, and we can't achieve perfection, humanly speaking.
The gospel is not something to do. It is good news. It is telling you something that has already happened. When you turn on the news at night, you don't get a list of commandments and things to do. You turn on the news to see what happened.
Yes.
The gospel is good news. Such good news, it makes you do backflips. You're so happy about it.
Yes.
It's so awesome. It's such awesome good news. I can't even explain it. It's such awesome good news that you just abandon the way of the law altogether. You put no confidence in the flesh.
Because the good news tells you not to.
It tells you not to. It's a better thing. It's the good news is telling you something has happened. One, Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a perfect life under the law, and did everything required by the law. Then he was crucified and put on the cross, and every sin, every violation of any of God's unrighteousness, every bit of it was paid in full on the cross. So that's why Paul makes that statement. There is now no condemnation. It doesn't need a qualifier. Like, there's no condemnation if you keep the law. Well, duh. Why would you be condemned if you kept the law?
Right.
It's not saying that. And 21 verses before that says you can't keep the law. So why would it say there's no condemnation for those who do something they can't do or never could do or never did do? That makes sense.
It does. It does, Bill.
So let's move on to Romans 8:4.
Okay.
You brought it up before. There's
all the righteous requirements of the law will be fully met in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
So why the qualifier there?
Because it's a temporal statement.
All the righteous requirements will be fully met. What's the qualifier again?
By us who do not walk according to human performance, but walk according to the Spirit's power.
So why does that make sense? For the righteous requirements of the law are fully met by those who do not walk after the flesh. What's Romans chapter 7?
Which was all about walking after the flesh. All of Romans 7 is talking about what it's like to walk after the flesh, your human performance.
So when you're walking after the flesh, you're not keeping any of the law. But you're not condemned because the penalty was already paid for in full. So there's no condemnation. There's no victory, though, because you're still walking after the flesh. If you haven't learned Romans 7, then you're not going to trust in Romans 8. And I know we're repeating these things, but...
In other words, what you're trying to say is you have to learn Romans 7 experientially. In the temporal way that it's used, your human performance will not get things done. You'll be saved, but you won't be saved from your wife who's mad as the dog at you. You won't be saved from your boss who's disappointed in you. You won't be saved on the temporal plane from anything.
No, but you won't be condemned.
By God.
Your wife's another story.
Another story.
One might even say that might even be a tougher standard than the law.
I'm glad you said
that. I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
No, I said one might say.
You did. You did.
I did. I said one might say.
That's right.
Hypothetical. That's right. Stupid guy out there might say.
Why am I being persecuted for the gospel?
So, yeah, right on. There's no condemnation. But that's settled. You walk in no condemnation.
From God.
From God. But you also want to walk in victory, not just...
with the people around you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uncondemned loser is...
That's what...
no way to go through life.
Loser.
Yeah, he's not condemned.
Yeah.
But...
it's not successful either.
When you have the Spirit is prompting you because it's the life you really want to live. It's even the life you want to live in your human nature. You really desire to live that victorious Christian life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you have to be convinced that you can't. But you can. How is it that you can't live it, Steve?
Humanly speaking.
How is it that you can live it?
By the Spirit's power.
Is that the whole
essence of the new covenant? Yes, because you're supposed to learn that it's the Spirit in you doing for you what you can't do for yourself. And thereby you give the Spirit credit, which comes into play with the judicial system of the new covenant, in which everything that you give Jesus the credit for doing through you winds up storing up treasures for you, because you get rewarded for what you tell people it's Jesus in me doing. If you give credit to Jesus, you get rewards for it.
Exactly. And you store, like you said, you store up treasures in heaven. But you have to have this Romans 7 experience.
That's why we're hammering this issue so much. You have to come to the understanding that you know that you can't do it, and it's not you doing it each day. And you have to get to the point where you give the Spirit credit each and every day, all day long, for every little bit of good character you show.
And then you have to have the Romans 8:1 experience. No condemnation.
Yes.
And to get to those experiences, this is probably for another podcast, but you have to understand Romans 5, say verse 10 to the end of the chapter. Then you have to understand Romans 6. What shall we say? Shall we continue in the sin that grace may abound? By no means, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you not know? What? Know what? That all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. That's a whole nother revelation. And they all go together. You can't just jump into Romans 8 and say, I'm going to do good for God.
Yeah.
You can't go into Romans 7 and say, I'm going to stop sinning. You can't escape condemnation until you get through the Romans 6. Don't you know that he who's died has been acquitted from all sin?
And you died in God's eyes. You paid the sin debt in full. And that's what you need to know when you see yourself in the mirror after a bad day. See, there's reasons for each one of these doctrines, and there's reasons that God told you about eternal truths that him and his son pulled off, miracles that they pulled off at the cross that made you uncondemnable.
Jesus made a bizarre statement in John 12 before he was crucified. He said, now is the judgment of the world. Now is the ruler of this world cast out. Two things. Judgment took place, and the one that accuses you is going to have no ammunition.
Yeah, he was.
He can't accuse you.
He was cast out of office.
Yes. The accuser of the brethren can condemn you by how well you keep the law in your mind.
And since God saved you at the cross from all that condemnation, he's got nothing else to condemn you with unless you get back on that performance treadmill.
And forget what's happened. So Jesus said, now is the judgment of the world. Now is the ruler of this world cast out. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all to myself. Some say it could be all condemnation. Some say it could be all people. We believe it's both. We're not going to get in a fight over it.
Yeah.
Either one works.
Mm-hmm. And both of them work.
Both of them work. So, if I be lifted up, and he said this to indicate the kind of death he would die.
In what kind of death would he die, Bill?
It would be a corporate death.
Corporate death. Where one man dies, in God's eyes, therefore, all died. We all received credit for what one man did. That's called corporate identity by the scholars.
And we'll get into that in some further podcasts. But Paul had to be convinced of this. He said in Romans, no, I'm sorry. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constrains me because I'm convinced of something. What was he convinced of, Steve?
The eternal truth that we all need to be convinced of, that one died for all, therefore all died. Why is that important? Because they died to pay the penalty for the sins. The wages of sin is death, and one died for all, therefore all died, therefore all paid the wages of sin. And that's something you have to keep remembering. It's an eternal truth from God's point of view that he teaches you because you couldn't have known it. But you have to keep remembering that on the worst day you've had, when you've tried so hard to live the Christian life and become such a failure, loser, low life, you feel like, well, you have to realize that eternal truth.
You see how important it was for Paul to be convinced of this? He says, I'm convinced that if one died for all, therefore all died. He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but they should make a commitment to keep the law and start doing good again.
Double down, dude. Double down.
Double down. You see how important this is?
Right, because that's what you'll do if you don't remember that eternal truth. Somebody would say you got to try harder, recommit, and down the altar you'll go.
I always thought that those who live should no longer live for themselves. I thought that meant
work hard for Jesus.
Work hard for Jesus. And it put me right squarely back in Romans 7.
Yeah, I do what I
don't
want to do.
Stop going to the bar. The more I didn't want to go to the bar, the more I went to the bar.
Yep.
Who will pull me out of this bar?
Yep. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, because that's who saves you.
Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're back to it again.
But back to the truth.
We're back to the truth. But you're only the truth only works if you're convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. That takes care of the condemnation that you should never feel.
And that truth only works when you believe it.
And it only works when you believe it. Therefore, the law, since there's no condemnation, you have to believe this next truth. Well, included in the truth of no condemnation is the truth that
you couldn't
failed.
Do it.
You couldn't do it. Yeah, you failed. And you'll always fail. You can't do it. You don't have the ability to do it. Determination has nothing to do with it. I think Paul was picked out because John the Baptist was, Jesus said, no one greater than John. Paul had a pretty good resume in Philippians 3. We've been over that a few times. But his conclusion was, as to outwardly keeping the law, he was faultless. He may not have physically done something, but Jesus could condemn him on him thinking it. But he could not stop coveting. Because coveting isn't an outward thing. It's something that goes on in your mind, and you can't control that. You cannot stop that. You need the mind of the Spirit. So, you're convinced that one died for all. That takes care of the condemnation. Now that if you're dead, that those who live can't be living by their human effort, even though this is a eternal truth that you died on the cross, that you have to take by faith. But now that you live, why would you ever try and live the Christian life in your human effort? Or, as Paul says it, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, or fully committed to keeping the law, keeping the righteous standards of the law, keeping the unshakable unbreakables, keeping the going to Promise Keepers and committing to do that. And by the way, we might owe them an apology.
Yeah. We use the Promise Keeper name, and we're beginning to feel like we shouldn't. It's just the Promise Keeper doctrine is what we're trying to oppose, and we're sorry because we used the name, and we don't do that in this ministry. And it just proves perfectly that Steve and Bill aren't perfect, because they want not to use that name, and they did. Got to be set free. Who will set me free from using that name? Jesus will set me free from using the name of the Promise Keepers and just talk about the beliefs, the doctrines.
And we're getting towards the end of our time, but what would you say, Steve, why is it so important to set all this up with failure under the law and failure under human performance to get you to do the Romans 8 and the no condemnation?
Because, like it said in Galatians, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ. The law points out your failures and then points to Jesus, who can do for you what you can't do for yourself, which is fulfill all the requirements of the law, which are met by those who do not walk according to human performance, but according to the Spirit's power. That's what the law points you to. It says in Galatians that the law leads you to Christ.
It's a tutor, yeah. Well, keep going, because you could roll on this all.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then it says, once you've put your faith in Christ, you have no longer any need for the law.
Well, what was the Galatians' problem? Because they did at some point turn to Christ.
They received Christ and accepted him, and then they went back to implementing regulations and certain things to do and don't do, and they began to rebuild that Ten Commandment mentality, and Paul would have no part of it. Boy, the things he said, I wish they'd go ahead and emasculate themselves, those people who want to put you under the law. He does not want you to be put under the law by anybody. And God help Bill and I don't believe that we do.
We do not. Lesson learned, I would say. I've had enough. I would say maybe not lesson learned, because there's something in our default mode that wants to try it again. And there's something in it. I'm not going to put down the church at large, but legalistic righteousness is pretty rampant in the church. But anyway, I'm not sitting in judgment of the church, so forget that. Forget I said that. I'm talking about Bill and Steve and the gospel, the Guardians of Grace. That's really why we picked the name Guardians of Grace, because it has to be guarded. And we're not the guardians of the grace.
Mm-mm, it's the Spirit. We're just,
it's the Spirit that's the guardian.
The Spirit is a hedge of protection. Spirit is our shield, guardians, the Spirit.
The Spirit is our shield, shielded by God's power.
And that's the note that we'll close on. That's the closing thought, which is that Jesus is your shield from doing the things that you don't want to do. He's the power to live the Christian life. And I just want to close us in prayer and say, God, we ask you to cause us to be rooted like a tree next to a river, where we bear fruit in every season because we're near that river, and you are that river. You are the river of living waters, Father, and we want to be planted right in you so that we can have your energy flowing through us, and therefore we begin to shine and become model citizens, become model employees, we become model husbands or wives. We just become model, Father. So root us in that thought so that we can become model. In Jesus' name, I ask you to do these things. Thank you, guys. We love you.
Amen. Thank you, guys. We do love you.